Holstein in the gun on fourth down. Davis to his left. Gets the snap. Play action fake. He's back. Throws it down the field. Wide open for the grab is Kanate Mumfield, and that's a score from 37 out. He did the play action fake. Cincinnati bit, and he beat star linebacker Miller to the pylon. Fourth and two, and a touchdown for the Panthers, and we got a ball game.
The 107th edition of the Backyard Brawl is Saturday, 3:30 at Acrisure Stadium, and the voice of the Panthers in his 51st year doing football is my partner, Bill Hillgrove. Also, you can see Bill on the radio at kdkradio.com on our stream. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, partner. Look for a great one. It's two teams that, you know, are kind of still feeling their oats early in the season, which is part of the college football process. But, you know, don't look at recent form. Don't look at the last game. You look at the rivalry. And rivalry games, they generally come down to maybe the last minute, and whatever team makes the one better play than the other is probably going to win it. So I look for a great ball game.
Yeah, let's dial back, though, to Saturday in Cincinnati, down 21 with 4:50 left in the third quarter. The unthinkable happened, and the improbable certainly, and that is there was a 98.6 at that time probability that Cincinnati would win, yet the Panthers stormed back 22 unanswered points to win that game off a field goal, and the biggest come from behind win since 1971, and I think you were the color analyst back then.
That's true. Ed Conway called that game. And I remember Les Block catching a Dave Haverin pass to win it after they were down 35-10 at the half to Navy. And, of course, the year before that was the Backyard Brawl. And Pitt, down 35-8, came back and won it 36-35. You know, Larry, in that game, in those days at Pitt Stadium, instead of the media rushing down to the locker room, there wasn't much room down there in Pitt Stadium. So they would feed quotes up to the press box on a PA system setup. And when there was a lull, you could hear the West Virginia fans yelling through the window for Bobby Bowden's head because of the way things happened. Well, I give Bobby credit because later that winter, he's at the Thompson Club banquet in West Mifflin. Hi, I'm Bobby Bowden. I have a new book on the shelves, How to Coach the Second Half. You know, that great sense of humor carried him to the Hall of Fame. There have been so many memorable games in that series. You know, if you're a Pitt fan, you remember 2007, 13-9. You know, it's amazing in football how in rivalries you can just identify the year and the game by the score. Mm. And when you say 13-9, West Virginia fans shudder and Pitt fans holler and stomp. And, you know, that was memorable. In 75, Tony Dorsett and Pitt were a pretty heavy favorite in Morgantown at the old Mountaineer Field. And Bill McKenzie kicked the winning field goal. Frank Cignetti Sr. was the head coach of the Mountaineers, and that was a big West Virginia win. And so there have been so many memorable ones, including a tie. I can't remember the year, somewhere in the 80s, where Eddie Fraser kicked the field goal to tie the game. And it ended, with each team kissing their sister. But, I look for a close one this week.
Bill, Paul Rasmussen here. Watching the game last week, I was impressed by Eli Holstein's transformation during the game from a rough start to a strong finish. And I would think that that's going to play a big role in deciding the Backyard Brawl, don't you?
Yeah, his confidence level has to be up. But, you got to give him credit and that team credit for the character they displayed.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a quarterback go from being a freshman to a senior in one game. And I saw that. He was a freshman in the first half, never having been in this hostile situation in the college game. And then he grew up the second half big time. Then the defense fed off what the offense was able to do. And I think, as you understand football, it's hand in glove. And I remember last year's game where Pitt actually intercepted late in the game a West Virginia pass, and that was on the plus side of the field, and they got no points. And, so one has to feed off the other, and we'll see what happens on Saturday because, you don't look at recent games. You don't look at the records. You just say, hey, it's the Backyard Brawl, And whoever makes one more play than the other team will probably win it.
It's one of the greatest rivalries in college football. And just a note on the Panthers' dramatic comeback, the ACC named them Team of the Week. They recognized running back of the week, Desmond Reed. Kanate Mumfield is receiver of the week, specialist of the week, their kicker Ben Sauls, and back-to-back rookie awards for Eli Holstein. I can't remember one game where Pitt got that many awards from the ACC. It was pretty impressive, including Desmond Reed, who had 100 yards plus receiving too. And as far as EJ Borghetti with Pitt knows, there's never been a player who's done that in one game, going over 100 yards rushing and receiving in their history. What about Desmond Reed, Bill?
He is sneaky big and sneaky strong. We know he's quick. So you put that package together, and he's a big-time player. And I love the way he handled the question. Well, what about the big step from Western Carolina to a Power Four conference team? And he goes, I think I can play football, you know. And so at any level, it doesn't matter.
And
I love that attitude. I do. I mean, he's confident. He's durable. I know he got banged up a little bit at Cincinnati, but I think he'll be ready to go set.
Yeah, there's a guy playing nose tackle at Cincinnati. His last name, Corleone, Paul. They call him the Godfather there. And he looks like he's 600 pounds. He pancaked Desmond at one point, but he got up. He is tough, and he was running at a speed of almost 21 miles an hour. So we're looking forward to Saturday's edition, 3:30 at Acrisure, and with the Fan pregame on the network with Bill Hillgrove, Pat Bostick, Doran Dickerson, Cale Berger, and myself. We'll be on at 1:30. And Bill, tomorrow night, one of the greatest nights of your life. I hope you feel that way. You and your late partner, the great Dick Grope, will be inducted into Pitt's Hall of Fame. They're going to have well over 500 people in attendance. And Jackie Sherrill's coming back for you. Tony Dorsett, Jimbo Culver. There's a whole list of people that are there to root you on. Hall of Famer Bill Hillgrove.
I am honored because I'm going in with my longtime partner. That, to me, puts it right at the top.
Well, on that note, we'll see you at the Pete tomorrow, and then we'll see you on the South Shore, or the North Shore, coming up on Saturday. South
North. H2P.
H2P. The great Bill Hillgrove on the Big K Morning Show.
Great's a good word.
He still sounds amazing. He just does.
Here's the snap. It's down. The kick by Sauls on its way. That kick is up. That kick is good. With 17 seconds to go, the Panthers have come all the way back to take a one-point lead.
Time to check in with Christy Graver, food editor with Pittsburgh Magazine. And she is also on our video stream. See her on the radio at kdkradio.com. Christy, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what is Newsapalooza?
Local news is in the local news this month. The first ever Newsapalooza, it's organized by Point Park Center for Media Innovation, will be held September 26th through 28th. This event is meant to stress the importance of news and remind people that journalists are often their friends and neighbors. Like, I live in Westview. On September 27th, the Boston Globe's now editor-at-large Walter Robbie Robinson, who was betrayed by Pittsburgher Michael Keaton in the movie Spotlight, will speak at the Pittsburgh Playhouse downtown. The weekend also includes hands-on workshops and events with some of Pittsburgh Media Partnership's 29 news outlets, of which Pittsburgh Magazine is one. So, I'll be there. So I've been a journalist for 20 years. So people should get to know your local journalists, because we're just Pittsburghers just like you.
I kind of like this Newsapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And yeah. Pittsburgh, maybe it's just me, but seems to have more than its share of these new distilleries. They're popping up everywhere.
Yeah, first it was breweries, now it's distilleries. So Pittsburgh is the birthplace of the Whiskey Rebellion, which happened 230 years ago, and our rocks glass continues to runneth over. I visited just 12 different distilleries in the area to talk to owners and sample the goods. We've got everything from Lawrenceville's Noir Distillery, Love Katie in Sharpsburg, Still Mill in Swissvale, Lucky Sign in Gibsonia, Inspired by Spirits in Allentown, which has its own speakeasy. It's really cool. So Pittsburgh is producing some really high class libations. So go check things out. Lots to explore.
You know as well as I, and I say this all the time, you're only a half person from everybody, and you have your best of the Berg, and it's somebody I know very well. It's somebody Pittsburghers know well. In fact, he played linebacker with my son at Duquesne.
That's awesome. This is one of my favorite features that we do, My Best of the Berg. So it's a Q&A with just a local Pittsburgher. In this month, we interview Pittsburgh Steelers long snapper Christian Kuntz. So it's football season. It's the perfect time to get to know him. Like you said, he was an All-American linebacker at Duquesne, and he was also a two-sport star at Chartiers Valley High School. So he is a Pittsburgh guy through and through. During our Q&A, we asked him to reveal his hidden gems, his favorite local meal, and a Pittsburgher, living or dead, who he would ride the incline with. So it's a nice little insight into what people think about Pittsburgh. I don't know, who would you ride the incline with?
Boy, that's a great, I love that. Who would you, live or dead, ride the incline with?
A Pittsburgher, yes.
It has to be a Pittsburgher, right?
Yes.
You know what? Art Rooney, the Chief.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be good fun? One.
Yeah, I would love to pick his brain.
Just sit there and talk with the Chief, riding up the incline, looking
yeah,
over.
Yeah, have a cigar.
Where the stadiums have always been on the North Shore,
yeah.
Way back to Exposition
yeah.
Park, Three River Stadium,
wow.
Heinz Field, now Acrisure. Yeah, that, I love that question. So we'll look for that in Pittsburgh Magazine. Christy, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Journalist, food editor Christy Graver. I love that. Newsapalooza, that's going to be held September 26th through the 28th. At Point Park University. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen and a very special guest. Odd, mysterious, and fascinating history of Pittsburgh celebrating 10 years. Tuesday was recognized by Allegheny County Council. The man behind it, John Shulkowski, has an amazing following and ability to tell stories, and what a rich story of his own in the past year. John, good morning.
Good morning, Larry.
You sound good, partner, and I know you've been through hell and back physically, if you don't mind me
absolutely
asking and sharing with our audience what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as some people might know, that's February of this year, I went in for a standard procedure, ended up not coming out of the hospital for a month and a half with a perforated bowels and diverticulitis problems, and ended up having to go through a life-saving surgery, which put me out of commission for months upon months. Pretty much lost everything that I have, and just kind of recovering. And I'm still in the process of recovery. In fact, my next surgery is in a week and a half, and that should be the final end of this chapter of health issues, all things, you know, going as well as they can. But yeah, in about a week and a half, I have my final surgery to get me reconnected due to these surgeries. For the last 6 months, I've had a colostomy and ostomy, as they call it, which is a horrible thing to go through, especially at someone my age. But I'm lucky enough to go through these things at my age, because I'm 42. So it's luckily I was able to make it through. But yeah, I'll tell you what, through this entire experience, the fact that I had Odd Pittsburgh behind me and this kind of community out there of Pittsburghers, people from all walks of life, from all countries, literally, who follow the page, I mean, reached out to me. And if that didn't happen, I don't know if I would have made it, to tell you the truth. I mean, it really kept me going.
And you were truly on the bubble, and you did lose everything, including your job, because for
yep.
people that don't know, Odd Pittsburgh isn't your job that produces an income like that. This is something you do out of passion.
That's right. So now, well, I mean, there's serendipitous things with all things in life. And, you can only think positive, at least in my case. So my positive message is now, for the first time in over a decade, I can actually concentrate all of my time on Odd Pittsburgh. Let's think about that. I've never concentrated all of my time. I've always, it's only like a tiny little smidgen of my day was Odd Pittsburgh. And then to think about what I've accomplished so far. So now to actually invest my time into doing things like I should have been doing, 10 years ago. I mean, I got books, TV shows, movies in the works, you name it.
Good for you, partner.
We've got to get healthy. Yeah, we've got to get healthy.
John, it's really great news. Tell us, walk us through what happened with County Council. There was a proclamation, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So I was, 10 years ago in September is when I had this kind of crazy idea to start exploring all these mysterious stories that you would kind of only briefly read about and never really kind of dig into the actual history. And that's when I started doing this just out of curiosity. And finally was recognized by Allegheny County Council this week on this 10th anniversary. And it was a wonderful proclamation where I was able to accept it. And I gave a speech, and I even read the poem as my speech. Pittsburgh, My City of Friends is a great poem from 100 years ago. And it was an incredible opportunity just to see the impact of even people who are on the council that didn't, you don't really put a face to the page. It's always just that guy with the eye patch, the Odd Pittsburgh, Mr. Odd, and don't really realize there's just a guy behind that. And so it's always surprising when people meet me sometimes and they say, wow, I thought it was a whole team of people or it's just one person. It's just hard to believe that somebody's curiosity can just make that big of an impact. It was so vast amount of people. And no matter, that's the greatest thing about doing something like this is that it doesn't matter what side of anything that you're on, politically or anything. Pittsburgh history really, truly does bring everybody together. It's one thing we can all agree on. We all love Pittsburgh.
I blame you for making me go down the rabbit hole on your Facebook page, because once you get there, you just keep reading these great stories. You got pictures, and these are a lot of news accounts. I've learned so much myself about the history of Pittsburgh, and I want everyone to know that doesn't know that you have a internationally famous relative who is revered in so many circles. Who?
Well, I mean, I got a few, but because I'm a genealogist, so I can tell you a big long list. But the closest one is Peter Tchaikovsky, the composer. And that does kind of keep me busy because I am a composer myself. I still write. In fact, that's one of the things that kept me going, was trying to sit down on my piano and play every day just to try to get back into reality. And I've written hundreds and hundreds of songs. And even this year, I've written hundreds of songs. So it's just a matter of that music and the arts and being creative, it's something that's deep in me, and it's hopefully in lots of people, but it's definitely something that keeps me going, that kind of passion and that, that family history, and make those relatives proud, as you could say.
Well, you certainly have. Tchaikovsky, come on, man. Is that really a role? That's extraordinary.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to say how much I appreciate, John, you're pinning the Pittsburghers Creed to your timeline on your X profile. I shared that with Paul Alexander a few days ago. He read it on the air. I think it was on Labor Day. I would like to get the chance to repeat it if I could at some point this morning. It's a beautifully, beautifully written tribute to Pittsburgh and Pittsburghers.
Absolutely.
And how do they find you, John?
Yeah, so that, it's funny is that particular poem or that Pittsburgher's Creed is usually how I start all of my speeches. So anytime I go somewhere, that's the first thing I read. And the last thing I read is Pittsburgh, My City of Friends, which is that other poem. But yeah, I mean, that's the Pittsburgher's Creed is something that, in fact, Mac Miller, who just, we celebrated the remembrance of his passing just a few days ago, messaged me when he was first kind of coming out and said that he just came across that Pittsburgher's Creed just like you did and would read it to himself every single night before bed.
Really?
Yeah, that surprised me, but it's just incredible to see things like that, like how just a small little thing that I found interesting, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to put there on my pinned profile, and then to have someone like him or you or anybody, just to touch you for 5 seconds to kind of give you a thought. You know, that's the idea. It's always been my idea. I always say, memento mori, as I say, you know, remember the dead. You know, they say you die two deaths. One's your natural death. The second time is unless someone speaks your name. And by remembering these people of the past, even if it's just for a second, it's as if, you know, you didn't die in vain, you know, and it kind of gives you a way to live on. And so it's kind of a magical thing of doing what I do, is that you're able to literally bring the dead back to life, even if it's just for a minute. At least we can think about them, because hopefully someday, you know, when we're gone, somebody will do that to us, you know, just for a minute. Just during the day, be like, hey, that Larry, you remember that guy? Or how about that John, you know? Just for a minute. I mean, that's all we can hope for.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we get you to come in studio sometime, spend and tell some stories here, because you got a lot of good stories, a lot of great stories to tell. How many followers do you have now?
Well, Facebook, 150,000. And Twitter, 50,000. Instagram, 75,000.
Wow.
And it grows, you know, every day, every minute of the day. It's grown.
Search Odd, Mysterious, Fascinating History of Pittsburgh, John Schulkowski. Great to catch up. Happy you're on the mend. And we'll look forward to seeing you soon. We'll get you in studio.
Absolutely, Larry. Well, I appreciate it. And my KDK family is that one that's always been keeping me going, you know. So I appreciate you guys. And I can't wait to see you in person.
You got it, brother. All right, take care.
Very awesome.
Yeah. After the news with Paul Rasmussen, next we have the Clemente brothers are here, Paul. Tonight and through the weekend, there are a series of events leading up to Sunday, which is Roberto Clemente Day in Major League Baseball. And in honor of their late father, they have done a lot of great work for charity.
And tonight's a big night.
It is. And we'll let them tell you all about it when they join us in studio next.